just wanted to say we're celebrating with you, dads, for this just time of saying Happy Father's Day. And for those of you who are fathers, grandfathers, or are father mentors, or whatever position you may be in that God has placed you before some others to kind of raise up, we're grateful for that. And many of you know that it can come with great both pains and joys in that whole experience. And I experienced the pains of it this week and the joys, to tell you the truth, as a grandfather. I have one set of grandsons. I have five grandsons, but one set that's five and under. And so I had a chance to be with my three that were 5 and 3.5 years of age. And they got these cool-looking, like, little glider planes. Remember some of you when you were younger? I'm going to date some of you here. We had the wood ones that would break all the time, and, you know, you'd throw it. Well, these are, like, incredible. I mean, they bounce off of things and everything. And so I got into my childhoodness for over an hour or more throwing these planes, and I can hardly lift my arm above my shoulder. Just yesterday, we went to Soda Clothing, and playing there was Taylor and his band, and so I took our two grandkids, my wife and I did, that are 5 and just going to turn 6, in fact, in 3.5. And on the way back, they had Pronto Pups, and I was just kind of being goofy. I said, oh, those Pronto Pups were so good, they were like barking, woof, 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 like that kind of stuff. And I do stupid things, and they know that. And so I talked to them, and I said, you know, those are great hot dogs. And I said, why in the world do they call them dogs? Anybody know? Oh, you don't need to tell me, because I said, it was my 3.5-year-old said, because they're made of dog meat. My wife and I were very quick to say, no, that's not really true. They're made of pork and not of a pig. And he is, you know, just like going, okay, then that's why they call them hot dogs. They should be hot pigs, which I couldn't argue with. So we're going to have Pronto Pigs and hot pork, I don't know, in the future. But anyway, it's just really fun. And you get that opportunity to be with your kids or your grandkids or whoever you're mentoring and be able to pour into the life and enjoy both the good and the bad. So we're going to do this series called Enjoy Life, because one of the things that we would love for you to understand and know is that as you know God, you also get to know joy. So I'm going to ask you to stand. We're going to read together. We're going to be in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And it's not that we're going to go through Ecclesiastes exegetically, verse by verse kind of a thing. We are actually going to do this series, Enjoy Life. And the idea is, as we get to this verse, it says, there is a time for everything, a season for every activity under the heavens. And then you see these lists of things. This is not an exhaustive list. We'll add to some of them as we do this through the series, like one, a time to play and a time to work. I heard that one as a kid. It really should be a time to work and then play, right? So a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, and a time for war and a time for peace. What do workers gain from their toil? I have seen the burden God has laid on the human race. He has made everything beautiful in its time. Let's pray. Father, in this moment, in this time, would you allow for us to be able to reflect on our life in such a way that as we know you and integrate your heart and life into our lives, we would also do what I believe you want us to do, you created us to do, and that is to enjoy life and to enjoy one another, enjoy the things we do, no matter what season we're in. And we pray these things in your name. Amen. You may be seated. So a little background on this book of Ecclesiastes. I actually call it a treatise, and the reason I call it a treatise is because it's more of a philosophical, reflective work that explores the meaning of life. The author, they believe, is King Solomon, which I believe wrote this book, and he had experienced many different things, and so he went ahead, and one of the books he wrote or collected sayings of was Proverbs. There's what are called five wisdom books in the Old Testament, and it begins with Job, and you have Psalm, Proverbs, Song of Songs, and Ecclesiastes. And Ecclesiastes is one of these wisdom books where there's this treatise that begins kind of setting the theme in one sense, and it begins in the King James, vanity of vanity, all is vanity. And it sets the tone for this contemplative, often you can look at it as a kind of a skeptical perspective on life. But that's not really what the author's intending to do. And although he acknowledges that there's a fleetingness to the nature of life and that there's an inevitability of death, he also encourages each one of us to enjoy the simple pleasures of life. That's why God created a garden. He wanted us to enjoy that. And he goes on and talks about it's important to find satisfaction in your work, in your relationships, in the ordinary blessings of life, recognizing, he says this a number of times, that they are gifts from God to be embraced. And he concludes the book with this important statement of the true meaning of one's life and purpose is found in God. So if you really want to enjoy life and not just live under the heaven, this side of heaven, but also know this God of heaven, who you are intended, he set eternity in your heart, that you would want to be there. You desire things that God actually created. He then basically says, as you know God, I want you to also enjoy life. So our hope is through this summer, because we hit the summer, and we're going to have no more snow this summer, that we will be able to enjoy life. So if you look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 1, he begins by saying there is time for everything and a season for every activity under heaven. And you need to note that line, there is a time for everything. So one of the things I want you to hear in this is that you need to know that you have time. Harvard study said there an average 80-year-old man, if they live to 80, has 632 million breaths. They didn't do that on women because they probably last long. You know, they live longer, right? And so if you were to take in one breath, some of you who are 40 are now at about 16,999,000 breaths left. And you've already probably wasted a couple right now, right? But I want you to understand, he says, there is a time for everything. God wants to make it clear that you need to be aware of this fact that you have time. And I know it's a resource we all think we don't have enough of. In fact, it's this idea that more important than money these days is time. You see it in the work world. People want more time off than sometimes even going for money. And we're living in this time where people are pressed for time. But God says, you need to know you have time. There is a time for everything. So God is God who has allotted our days. He knows when we're born. He knows that very final breath that you will take when you die. So God is a God who is aware of that you have this span of life. And in that life, he wants you to live it in his creative purpose that he has planned for you and to live that out. So, you know, here is God. He is, you know, let me put it this way. When someone comes to you and they say, we're pregnant, and you're just going, really? God's not surprised. He knew the day that little infant, and hear this, was created in the womb. He understands that. He knows that. In fact, when it comes to death, he also makes this statement that I know exactly the day that you will die. I know when you will take your final breath. And in reality, that should give you a sense of security. He knows about you from the beginning, and he knows when you will end this life. It's really up to you in this time of life to make a decision. Do you really want to know God and walk with God and understand his forgiveness and understand what it means to be in relationship with him? But he knows when you're going to die. I remember when I was working a job where I was traveling and flying a lot more, and I remember once in a while, I'd get a little nervous when the plane was taken off. And then I remember just thinking to myself, you know, God, my thought process was, I know that you have more for me to do. So I know that I won't go until I've done what you want me to do. But I also know that when I do go, it's when you wanted me to go. And you can live with that sense of security. You need to know that you have time. You have time, according to what it says in the Word of God here. You have time to do the things that God has called you to do. And this little truth expresses this reality. Everyone here, everyone who's listening online, you have the opportunity to live out the purposes of God in your life. As you get to know him, he will begin to express himself through you. This author makes it really clear. Repeatedly, he says that I've done it, I've experienced it. After looking at all the things of life, looking at work and wisdom and pleasure and money and all the different things, he comes back again and again. And he says, more important than the career you're probably pursuing right now, more important than accumulating knowledge or accumulating wealth, or more important than pursuing the next experience, adventure. Again and again, he says, as you're doing that, I want you to recognize as you live out my purposes, I want you to know that one of the things I do want you to do is not only know me, but enjoy life. And I think, as he says, sometimes we live more under the burden of life than we live under the joy. And he calls us to live with that awareness. So in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 13, at one point he says, it's not a kind of like, there's a number of times he tells us, it's not just kind of like, okay, then just, you know, if we don't have anything beyond heaven, just go eat, drink, and be merry. There's a sense of that, but there's also this sense that under heaven, one of the things God has called you to do is to eat, drink, enjoy your work in the relationships you're in and the beauty of what God has placed around you. And that doesn't mean you're frivolous with your time. It doesn't mean that you're not driven. It doesn't mean that you are going to find this outside of God, although you can enjoy life. People can enjoy life without God, but you will know the fullness of that life in God. So Ecclesiastes 3:1, there's a time for everything, but he adds this little phrase that comes next to it. And he continues by saying, and a season for every activity under heaven. So not only do you need to know that you have time and you can fulfill those purposes and do what God's called you to do, but you need to know the season you're in. I think this is really important. It's important to know the season you're in. I remember when my kids were young, and at that time, you know, one thing I like to do is read. I remember when the kids came, and I would get the paper delivered. I'd love to get the paper, but I began to notice I could hardly scan the headlines. I remember I was thinking to myself, I might as well not get the paper anymore. It just didn't seem like I had time to do that. And I just kind of wondered, will I be able to read again? Is that going to even be a possibility? And then I got a call just a few weeks ago from one of my daughters. And she asked me, what are you doing? And I said, I'm reading. I'm reading this book. I love it. It's about the first tycoon, Cornelius Vanderbilt, and amazed at how many things are happening just before the Civil War, that, especially economically, politically, that is kind of mirroring what's happening today. Anyway, I was talking about it, and then she just kind of stopped me, and she has, like I said, three boys under five. She said, oh, yeah, I remember what reading was like. And she said, I wonder if I'll ever do that again. And I said, you will. Look at what I'm doing. There is a season. And you kind of have to know the season you're in. Solomon said, there is a season that has the opportunity for the activities that are appropriate or that can happen in that season. I remember that season just seemed like all I was doing in that season was raising kids, working in my career, and yard work. And it felt like I was grieving and I was losing different things. But every season, if you think about it, has something you will potentially lose. And it might be a joy that you have to let go of. But here's what I want you to know. You need to know, Solomon says here, every season has an activity. There are some things in the season you're in as you're letting go that you need to grab hold of. that you need to understand that God has placed you in this season, and he's not calling you to just kind of grin and bear it. He's calling you to maybe let go, grieve, and refocus and grab hold of something else. So some of you parents, I know you're in this season where you're just, it's about raising your kids, and it's about your career and moving forward in that, and it's about the different activities, all the different, you know, yard work. And you're wondering, and you're letting go. And some of you might find that in other seasons that you're in, the importance of letting go. One of the takeaways that I want you to think about in this season is to ask yourself, what is your season, Aaron? What may God be calling you in this season to release for a season? And what might he be calling you to look forward to and to see in the season that you're in, that you may not have seen or recognized? When I was with my kids at about 4 and 6 years of age, I remember the season, as I had said, that we were in. One of the things that was going on in my life was I was trying to just, you know, get things done and work, and I was at one point, because I would take time in the morning, I'd encourage you. One of the ways to be able to know what season you're in and what God wants you to grab hold of is to take time away and apart, quiet your heart and listen to God. And one of the habits, I mean, doing this on a Sunday morning is one of those things because God has an opportunity to speak to you. But one of the things that was also important in my life was because I knew I needed a daily tune-up. I got out of kilter over a day, and I would just stop and I would take some time and I would read God's word, and I would journal. I'd just kind of reflect on what happened. I'd reflect on what's going to happen that day. And then I would pray. And I remember one time I was praying. I was in that quiet place and reflecting. And God kind of said to me with an impression, they weren't words, but pay attention. I want you to look for what I have in this season. And I remember when I was thinking about that, my mind starts to kind of go, and I think God's even when our minds kind of wander off a little bit, and I started kind of thinking about things, and I remember thinking of their ages and what am I paying attention to, and then I remembered how much when I was around their age and a little bit older, I loved road trips with my parents. Now, I don't think they liked them so much. Because, you know, it was very common for them, because my brother is 2 years older, in the back seat, and we would be warring with each other, and then they would draw a line, don't go on either side, you know, that kind of thing, and the hand would kind of grab you, and then once in a while, my dad would pull over to the side of the road, no fooling, look at us and go, okay, kids, boys, if you don't cut it out, we're going to turn this car around and go home. Never did that. But anyway, scared us. But in that season, we're in this season, and I'm thinking about road trips, and I'm thinking, my kids are 4 and 6, and I remember in my life, that season kind of only went to about 8th grade, 6th grade, 8th grade, whatever age that is, because we started getting involved in sports, we started getting involved with our friends, my dad's actual work picked up, so he wasn't able to do that kind of road trip stuff as much, and it hit me, I have a window of opportunity, I have a season to plan to do some road trips with our kids. And so I kind of thought, I had 8 years, you know, we don't have enough money to go every summer, so we planned one every other summer. We went out west one time. We took one up to the Upper Peninsula of Michigan and went to Mackinac Island. And then one other time we went east. And that eastern trip, we had the opportunity to stay at a relative's house who they had a house on the beach in Kiowa. Pretty good. Don't know why I didn't do that every season. But anyway, my daughter just came back this last spring from a trip with her kids at Kiowa. Not in the same place. But she came back and she said, Dad, I just want you to know, one of my favorite memories, one of the times I just enjoyed being together as a family so much, was that trip to Kiowa years ago. And I wouldn't have known that and had experienced that if I hadn't been in a place where God was calling me to pay attention to the season that I was in. The next thing Solomon does, if you look at this, he talks about every activity under heaven. Now he goes into a list of these different kind of seasons. And what I want to encourage you to think about when you think about these seasons, again, they're not exhaustive, but here's what he's doing. He's naming the season and in a sense, allowing you to define the season that you're in. So he lists a whole bunch of these, and he names them exactly. And I think part of knowing you have enough time to do what God's called you to do, and part of this idea that you can know the season you're in, the next thing you really need to do and you need to know is what exactly and what specifically is that season. You need to name it and define it, because it's helpful to name and define the season that you're in. As Solomon looks at it, he just kind of goes, here are a bunch of seasons, and in that process of naming and defining, it gives you the opportunity to go, okay, in this, what do I have to let go, and in this, what do I grab hold of? And so what are some of the seasons you're in? I had the opportunity to sit down with one of our graduates from high school who's in a season of what I call identity formation. And he was sharing with me his doubts. And I said, man, that's okay to doubt. There's a time to doubt and a time then to grab hold of what you really believe, your values. Your parents had values for you, but if you don't internalize them and go through this process, you won't be able to form your identity. And my prayer and hope is that in that process, and I'll answer as many doubts as I can, some of them are mysteries, but in that process, you'll be able to grab hold of with your own heart who this God is, who loves you and died for you. And I just ask you to think about what season you're in. Can you name them? Some of you may be in what I call the marrying season, right? Some of you are in the singleness season, hoping to get married, and some of you are in the singleness season, don't want to get married. You know what the Bible says? That's a good place to be there. So really, Paul even says that. You know, Jesus was single, and a lot of the Gospels were written throughout his life. Paul, we're told, was single, whether he was married at one time or not, scholars debate, but he talks about the importance of it. So I just want to say, what season are you in, and are you able to appreciate it and able to say, this is good? What is it that God is calling me to hold on to? Some of you are in the parenting career building season. Some of you are in what I call the empty nest season. Raise your hand if you're in empty nest season. I got to share something with you. Don't blow this one, okay? I'm going to give you a truth. If you're in the empty nest season and you don't have grandkids yet, you got a lot of time and you can do a lot of stuff. You can impact this world through the church. I tell you, don't sit back and go, oh, we're done. We're going to go travel. Think about what God's calling you to do in this season. You will have so much time, because when you have grandkids, you won't have that much time. It kind of changes. And grandkids are funny because, you know, when you're parents, they multiply by ones usually. At grandkids, they multiply by multiples. So some of you are in the grandparenting, some of you are in what I call the retirement, or some, as Maury Kapsner here talks about, the refiring season. I talk about the repositioning season. My wife likes to hear me say reposition, because she's the last thing she wants me to do is to retire and do nothing. I'd be home. A lot. Some of you are in an illness season. Some of you are in a season of financial distress. Some of you are in a season where you're confused. I don't know what the season is, but I do know that if you really want to enjoy this life, it is going to be important for you to stop and to pause and invite God to speak to your heart and kind of say, God, what am I supposed to attend to at this time? My wife, Grace, who I mentioned, is really wise. She has been kind of assessing our season as we are in this grandparenting kind of repositioning kind of phase of season. And we had been living in a hobby farm for 31 years, and it is no longer a hobby or a farm. It's now just a lot of work. And as she was seeing that and seeing that we're out a distance and not as close to our kids, wanting to walk and things like that, we began to discuss and pray through the last year. And we made a move into this Wayzata area. And I can tell you, I am so glad that she paid attention to this season, because I would have missed it. And I'm so grateful for what God did. It's one of the experiences in my life, that move. I have never, ever tried to... I'm usually, like, when I tell people I want to watch God work, they kind of say, but you're going to do work. I go, that's not the problem. I get in his way too much. This is one of those times where I just kind of sat back and watched God open door after door after door after door. If you're in a season of illness, I just got to share with you, one of the most meaningful times in my life was a youth pastor. His name is Jim Forstrom, and some of you may be Free Church people will recognize that name. He had an impact on my life as a kid, but he came into a season near the end of his life where it was a season of illness where he was immobile. He couldn't do anything. And this guy who's so gifted could touch people's lives and hearts, and he can't do anything, but he did something. He, because of his relationship with God, began to listen, and God just told him, I want you to start writing those thousands of kids you impacted over the years. Got their addresses. I got this letter one day, like a three-page letter. It just blew me away. Because a guy chose to know that he had time to do what God was asking him to do. A guy chose to kind of know the season, and then one step further, he named it and said, what can I do for you, God, in this season? And the last thing I want to share with you is God makes one last point before you get to the, he said, turning the heart. If you look at the last part of, the first part of chapter 11, verse 11 in verse 3 here, he talks about what do workers gain from their toil. So he's not talking about the drudgery of work. I've seen the burden God has laid on the human race. Why didn't he just make it so we didn't have to work, you know? He has made everything beautiful in its time. He's made everything beautiful in its time. And one of the things you just need to know is that God is in the process of setting things up for you to enjoy him and enjoy others in the season you're in and possibly in the season that's coming. There's some of you get sometimes if you're on social, I think just even in texting or email, sometimes you get things sent and that and there's a line that says, wait for it. Ever get that? And you just kind of wait and wait and wait. You wait for 18 minutes and kind of go, wait a second. I don't want to watch these again because I don't have the patience to wait even for a half a minute. But anyway, I think what you find when you read in the Psalms so often, David, here's a guy who was told when he was a kid that he'd be the king. And then he had this really good, fast start. He slew a Goliath, this giant. And then he became the leader of tens of thousands and overcoming the enemy. And he's on his track to be the next king. Except for the fact that King Saul gets jealous and starts throwing spears at him. And he went into a phase of his life where he ran and he was in the wilderness. It was a wilderness season. And in that wilderness season, he learned to wait on God. Because I can bet there was time and again where he was wondering, will this word of God spoken to me ever come true? And so he says in Psalm 27, I am still confident of this, that I will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. It's going to happen when I'm alive. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord, says David, because everything is beautiful in God's time. Do not let the voice that keeps saying, you know what, God may have said that, but that's not going to happen. Faith, as you let God do the work in your heart. Psalm 37, 34 says, wait for the Lord and keep his way, and you will possess the land. He says that you'll inherit the land. You'll possess this about five times before it gets to that point. But he says, wait for it. I encourage you to wait for it. And one of the things we're going to do that we are going to encourage each of you to do is take this joy journal this summer because we want you to enjoy life. Now, some of you who always are pretty antagonistic, you can throw it away. That's fine. But the rest of you and some of you on the fence, would you be willing to try this? Becca, who is our who's in Belize right now, and we're praying for our team that's there with the youth, who is our youth pastor, is also on the teaching team, and she put this together for us, and I'm really grateful for what she did. And it's just simple, and I want you to do four things. As they pass these out, I would love for you to grab these, and when you get a chance, you may want to take a picture with your camera to see that, but here are the four things that I'd like for you to do. First is this: take some time this summer, in the next week, looking at the summer and say, what's the season or seasons I'm in? Okay, this is your homework. And then assess what gifts you have to let go of in this season. Okay? For some, you may be letting go for just a season. For some of you, it may be that God's saying, like, Kevin, you can't water ski like you once did, or you can't throw airplanes like you once did for an hour. Prayerfully reflect then what gifts you have. And don't expect the one time you just sit down, it's going to happen. Take some time over this summer and begin to really just pray through that. And the last is, I'm just going to ask you to read the Bible and list things you're grateful for. What are those things that brought you joy? As you read God's word, what's in his word, what's then in your life? And let God, through gratefulness and joy, bring you to an incredibly wonderful place as best you can in the season you're in to enjoy life. Because that's one of the main thoughts of this book of Ecclesiastes. No God and no joy. I'm going to ask for you guys to pay attention. So those of you who are dads, especially, we have a video that just wants to celebrate you as a dad.